Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet. Welcome to another Tadpog podcast, Other Shit Monday edition.
Yep.
A show that happens twice a week. This being the first time it happens in a week.
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends. Depends if you start your weekend on Wednesday.
That's true.
I mean, who knows?
And I guess before stories, introductions first. On this show, we typically play through SNES, IGN's Super Nintendo Top 100.
Yep.
Not on Other Shit Monday. Anything else that's not on that game.
Right. So not on that list.
Today we discussed a game that was near and dear to you growing up.
It was.
So I've played through it before. I've watched you play through it several frustrating times.
You were frustrated or I was frustrated?
I think you were a little frustrated because you had to do it three times back to back to back. But we'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into that. That's not really my fault.
So before we say the name, should we say the name of the game?
I think we should start doing that.
Okay.
Because like I was wondering that last time when we recorded Super Bomberman. I was like, maybe we should say the name of the game before we like get into our disgusting stories.
Yeah.
That way, if someone really likes the game, they're like, all right,
I'll suffer through
it. Yeah, exactly. I'll grit my teeth and get through this shit.
So the game, I believe it's IGN's 68th ranked NES game.
Right.
Regular Nintendo.
Yeah. Nintendo Entertainment System.
Little Nemo.
:
The Dream Master.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So if you want to hear about that, just stay tuned through this shit.
If you don't want to hear about that, we're probably going to get off topic a whole lot. So don't worry.
Yeah.
So everyone wins in this situation.
I'm your bearded host, Tyler. And I have a story somewhat related to this game.
Okay, good.
Because the first time I ever played it was at my grandmother's house, who I called Nanny. Okay. So at Nanny's house.
Not to be confused with Nana,
whose dog's bark. Nana, who's Nana? This is right. Nanny, who had no dogs.
Okay.
So Nanny lived next door to, I remember the guy's parents, like a kid around my age named Jeff.
Okay.
And his parents were weird, but Jeff was a nice guy.
Like, how are they weird?
I think, I remember his mom being like very tall. She looked like Tan Mom.
Tan Mom?
Yeah, are you familiar with Tan Mom? Is the one who like she tans like so much. She looks like she's made of leather.
Okay.
And right. Like she put her kids in like a tanning bed and she was arrested. Like it was a whole big.
Oh, this is like a real person.
Yeah.
I thought it was just like an anime character or something.
No.
Tan
no,
Mom.
This is a real. It'll be good for the show notes. Tan Mom.
All right.
Because she looks like just disgusting.
Okay.
And Jeff's.
That's not sexy?
Jeff's mom. Do you find leather sexy? I mean, really into like.
I mean, I kind of do.
Like saggy leather.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. Taut leather.
Oh, no. This is like. Yeah. This, strange enough, this is saggy leather.
I'm into gimp leather exclusively.
But I remember then his stepdad was.
Let's talk about Jeff. Let's scratch Little Nemo. Let's just talk about Jeff
and his weird family situation. And all I remember Jeff's mom was huge in Final Fantasy III.
Really?
Not Final Fantasy III. I'm sorry, Mario III.
Oh, okay. That's a little more.
But for a tan mom, it's good.
Yeah.
Remember, she beat Mario III once a week, every week.
Holy shit.
So,
all right. Well, it was a really good game. Let's
face
it.
That's true. That's true. I've got some parallels.
Number one on IGN's NES list.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I don't argue with that.
No.
But Jeff and his dad was sort of like my dad's friend, Craig.
Oh,
like Craig, he was kind of stupid. I remember he had a big, thick, like black pedophile kind of mustache and a mullet.
Uh-huh.
And he would always sit in his garage, which was done up with like Budweiser stuff and Harley Davidson stuff.
Yeah.
He didn't have like a motorcycle or
or a
car.
Drinking problem.
he just like sit in a lawn chair and drink beer and like, I don't know, just wear tank tops and yell at Jeff. That was just what he did.
I mean, a lot of people do that around here.
Yeah.
I mean, I can show you, like, I can take you a block that way from Tadpog Annex and we could probably find
that's true.
That.
but I don't remember Jeff's last name. Like, I remember having a lot of good conversations with Jeff because he had a Nintendo, and I wanted to go over there and play it.
For legal reasons, it's probably a great thing you don't remember his
true.
Last name.
That's true. But I would go over there to play his Nintendo, and one of the games he had was Little Nemo the Dream Master.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd play through that, and we really enjoyed the level of topsy-turvy. We really loved the music, which I'm sure we'll get into that more.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember after we played through it, I remember, like, we lost. Like, we couldn't do it. We couldn't beat it. We got frustrated and went for a walk in the woods because there were woods right behind okay. Jeff and my nanny's house.
All right. One of you pretended to be an animal suit, right? And the other one crawled inside.
Well, he had to feed us candy right. first
Three pieces
until we
of candy.
Fell asleep. And he crawled inside
You fall
us.
Asleep. He enters you. And then you go on an adventure in your sleep. It's really horrifying. We should remake this game as a horror movie.
Because, yeah, Jeff would put me to sleep and then get inside me and try to tell me things about his life. I'd be like, no names, Jeff. I don't know your last name. I don't even know your story. But I remember walking through the woods, and we ended up making like a circle around his house to Nanny's house. And behind Nanny's house, there was like a ton of like the crisscross kind of wooden fencing.
Yeah, the lattice, like lattice work.
Yeah,
or?
There was like a whole lot of it. Yeah. I didn't know why it was there. It was
like,
nice.
Was it up? Was it like posted up or was it like on the ground?
It was
or?
Leaning up against a tree, okay. like 20 pieces of it, huh. like long pieces leaning up against the tree.
Someone started a project to finish it.
We didn't know what it was for. And we were still already angry about not being able to beat Little Nemo.
Uh-huh.
And Jeff hated a stepdad. So we went and got like bats and hammers and yelled our frustrations while we broke this lattice work.
Okay.
Like, he was screaming about how much he hated his dad and he wouldn't let him get a dog. And he wanted to beat Topsy Turvy and the stupid train. And like,
maybe a good thing you don't know Jeff yeah. nowadays.
Well, then I'd voice my frustrations about, like, I don't know, probably not getting a girlfriend that I wanted.
Picking
like, I don't know
sticks.
What my problems were back then. My dad made pick up sticks. But we just broke this fencing all to pieces.
Uh-huh.
And then the next day, like, my mom just went off on me because apparently, like, Nanny had saved up and bought this
oh, no.
to fence in the bottom of her trailer so,
oh,
like,
no.
animals and stuff wouldn't get under there.
Yeah.
And we just broke it to pieces.
Oh, no.
For no real reason other than we found it and we just wanted to break something because we were mad.
What did you tell your mom? Just that?
I told her, yeah, it's like, Jeff and I hit it with hammers.
We were trying to fix it.
Why? Why? I don't know.
You couldn't pull the old, it was like that when we got there.
Somebody else must have went behind Nanny's trailer.
It was Jeff.
Hammers.
I saw him. He was by himself.
I was like, Jeff, don't do that. He's like, I hate my dad.
By the way, I think Jeff really needs a dog. I'm Dave Tyler. Not Dave Tyler. I'm Dave.
I mean, I know who you are. So, hey, I'm Dave.
Hi, Tyler. In case you forgot, I am Dave. I do this show with you. Will you be my friend?
I'll give you some dried meat and then...
And I'll go,
ooh, my party.
And then I will run into the woods and come back with lattice work, which you will use to go under the ocean. And then we'll be party members.
If anybody who doesn't get that reference, you'll understand it in like 40 more weeks when we get to that game.
Right. Spoilers, it's Final Fantasy 3.
Yep.
Or Final Fantasy 6.
Or 6 if we want to piss off Miller.
Right. Let's go ahead and keep pissing Miller off. I'm your bespectacled host. I do this show with you.
Okay.
Remember?
Yeah.
Do you remember now?
Yeah. Okay. Now that he's it's like, where am I? Why am I with that guy that works with Brandon and Apex?
Tyler, today I have a babysitter story.
Okay.
And this is something I've actually been meaning to ask you for a while, whether or not you have any babysitter stories, because I imagine that you do. You seem like the kind of guy that has a few babysitter stories. So think on that, and maybe in a future episode you can regale me with a babysitter horror tale.
Okay.
When I was around 7 years old, whenever my parents would want to get out of the house, they would call the girl who lived across the street to come over and babysit me. This girl was named Megan. Not to be confused with Meg's 246, although I can't verify that. She's not your Meg's 246. She has never babysit me. If you ever want to set that up, you have some kind of sick desire, I will pretend to be a child.
Yeah, we need to be practiced for the baby, and it'd be because I'm going to fetish play where you could be in a diaper and right. they could change you. And
I said sick. I didn't mean that. I need to redact that because I'm trying to be open to all kinds of sexuality. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think that if you have to dress up like a baby to climax, it's really hard for
at
me to say
that. At least you found a way. Imagine if you didn't know about that, how frustrated you'd be.
I'm not going to lie. It is a little hard for me to say that's not weird. Because it's a baby.
They did an episode on HBO's Cat House about a guy who would always call and want the prostitutes to like change him and shit like that. And the madam would be like, no. And he'd just send him videos of what he wanted him to do, like him in a diaper. And apparently he was like a Wall Street businessman.
No,
and then like
no,
he's
I
in
can't,
a diaper.
I can't fucking hang with that. So anyway, Tyler, I had a very big crush on Megan, an enormous crush. Mm. I would go so far to say, Nikki's in the other room, so I gotta keep it on the down low. Mm. I would go so far to say is that I wanted to be Megan's boyfriend.
Damn, dog.
I know.
Now I'm uncomfortable. Now I feel, I'm not, it's a little weird.
I was constantly trying to impress her by catching fireflies and attempting to draw the perfect stegosaurus. I don't know. Maybe
I hope she taunted you. Just like she'd bend over with her breast, just like, you can see these if you can draw me just the perfect stegosaurus.
She didn't say stuff like that, but like.
Or was it like a Days from Dusk Till Dawn situation?
She turned into a vampire? Spoilers.
Where it's like, where Quentin Tarantino's imagining.
Oh, right.
What that actress.
Juliette Lewis.
Yeah,
right?
Juliette Lewis. Thank you. I was like the attractive white trash girl.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, she plays that in every movie.
That's not on My Name Is Earl. The other right. cute white trash girl.
Yeah, I mean, I do remember, like, maybe it was all in my head, but I do remember stuff.
I'll show you these big-ass titties if you just drop me the perfect stegosaurus.
No, she didn't.
I could do that for you.
She didn't say stuff like that, but I do remember, like, playing with, like, Legos on the ground one time, and she did, like, bend over to pick up some Legos, and, like, I got a flash of that, like, older girl bra, mm-hmm. like, that whole display, mm-hmm. and I think that might have been a turning point in my life. That might have been when I started having an attraction to Daphne and Scooby-Doo. I don't know. Maybe I need to go see somebody and talk to them about this.
I want you to find her on Facebook.
Okay, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah!
I'm not going to lie. But when I was preparing this story for the show, I did ask my mom what Megan's last name was, and she did give it to me. I found a few girls, I should say ladies. Here's the problem. I can't remember what she looked like. Like, she's just kind of like an
idea. Remember that bra?
She's just an idea to me now, you know? Mm. Like, she's not even real. So, like, I found some ladies on Facebook who had her name.
You have to message all of them and be like, did you babysit me?
I'm not going to lie. I did think about it. Because my love for her, Tyler, ran that deep.
Mm.
It really. I gotta keep it down again because Tadpog NX is like really close to the living room. That's where Nikki is. I don't know. Maybe she just. Maybe the 16-year-old girl just wasn't into 7-year-old boys.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Not everyone's a Mary Kay Letourneau. Not everybody, sadly.
But what I do know is that on one sunny summer Sunday morning, I opened up my window, my blinds in my room when I woke up. I would always get up early on Sunday morning to watch Dumbo Circus.
God, I hated that show.
I know. We need to have a Dumbo Circus episode because like we have really, really mixed opinions on this. We're polarized. That's the episode where it comes to blows.
That's our final episode. It's over. Well, we're done with the SNES list. We're going to end the show and talk about Dumbo.
Dumbo Circus. So I open the blinds, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I look out across the street, taking in the day. It's glorious. And Megan is sunbathing in her front yard.
Mm.
And she's wearing a bikini.
Mm-hmm,
so mm-hmm. my 7-year-old blood just starts, it just gets pumping.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm motivated now. I learned that day what everyone learns at some point is that men are just constantly driven by women and the desire to be with women, because otherwise we wouldn't.
That your cooter feels good when you press it up against stuff.
Exactly. So I come up with a plan. I really want Megan to like me. My dad had a 1981 copper Camaro, and I thought this car was badass, and rightfully so. So I figure, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to go out there, and I'm going to wash his car. So, and that's what I do. I follow through, because that's what I do, Tyler. I make a plan, and I follow through. So what I do is, I go out there, I take my shirt off, and attempt to seduce her by washing the car, by listening to Bad to the Bone by George Thorogood, which is playing in my bright yellow Mickey Mouse tape player. I don't even think that she looked up ever. And to this day, it still pains me.
That's good. Oh, man.
Still pains me. But it bonus, it did give me the idea to lip sync Bad to the Bone at that year's talent show. So yeah. I'm some good came out of it.
Of course, weird connection. When you did that, you thought of her and just got a huge boner while you're trying.
Ran off stage.
See, in my head, then you were like, I'm going to wash his car. Couldn't find any soap, so I'll use rocks. And then he beat me half to death in front of Megan.
All right. Clearly, I need to rework that story and bend the truth a little bit. Although the washing the car, washing dad's car with rocks sounds like a Tyler story to me. Coming off the coattails of lattice destruction. Little Nemo, Tyler.
Mm-hmm. Before that, just a little side comment. Okay. Something I haven't done in a long time.
You know Megan.
What?
It's like an episode of Maury. You brought her here. She's going to sit down on the mics.
We're like a wrestler. We're going to bring her into Bad to the Bone. But what I've been reading.
Oh.
I haven't done this in a long time.
Yeah, I haven't done this in a while.
So I'm on the final book of the Divergent trilogy, which is a young adult, like Meg. I've had been having Meg read all this stuff I want. So I was like, okay, tell me what you want me to read.
Uh-huh.
And she wanted me to read this.
She did not say the Bible. I don't know why.
until seminary, I knew I could trump her in Bible trivia. So,
I don't doubt it. Yeah. You know a lot of obscure, like weird shit about the Bible.
But the Divergent trilogy is, I don't want to say it's awesome, but it's a good read. It's a good, solid read. It reminds me of a young adult version of Hunger Games and Fallout.
Really? I like
because
the Fallout
it's
part.
A post-apocalyptic where they're trying to bring everything back together. The twist at the end is rather Fallout, the twist in the final book.
How many books is it? Is it a trilogy?
Just three, yeah.
Man, with the trilogy, just write a book. Just write a book. I realize that The Lord of the Rings was three books. That doesn't mean every fucking fantasy series needs to be like three. Just write a book.
Well, that's why Robert Jordan, he was like three books. How about 14?
Let's multiply that.
And apparently at Wheel of Time, though, 14 books, his notes about the world were much longer than all the books put together.
Is he one of those guys that like builds a world first and then writes a story?
Maybe, because in some books he gets a little too into world building and descriptions. But so the Divergent trilogy, solid. If you like the Hunger Games and stuff like that, you'll like the Divergent trilogy.
I like Fallout. I like the first Hunger Games book.
That's my favorite as well. And the Divergent trilogy, the first one, is my favorite.
Okay.
Trainsy.
Yeah, Trainsy's real soft. I'm sorry, Paul. You may not be able to hear Trainsy.
But okay. Little Nemo.
Little Nemo.
Unless you want to talk about what we've been playing.
I don't think we could finish the show if we did.
Okay.
I would love to talk about what we've been playing, but I've been playing a shitload, and it's going to take like at least 20 minutes for me to talk about everything.
Because I've been playing Phoenix Wright.
Yeah.
Outside of Tadpog requirements. So nothing too exciting for me.
Quickly, I've been playing a great 3DS game that you let me borrow that has like the worst name in the world, because I don't even know how to pronounce it on this show to tell people about it and how wonderful it is.
So we won't.
There's
a good game out there.
Go find it. Send us photographs. If you pick it, then you get, I don't know. I can't say a Goosebumps book because I still haven't mailed Paul's out. We got to sign that fucking thing tonight so I can get it in the mail tomorrow.
Now it's on. Now it's on.
Although,
recording.
Although if we go to Nashville, I don't know what the hell is going on this weekend.
Yeah.
If we go to Nashville, we can just drive by and throw it in at his door.
We know his address. We'll just throw it at him.
We just play Paperboy. This episode will have aired after that, so we really could surprise him. We really could go by like bright ass early in the morning and just knock on the door and be, here's your book. But I've been playing that game, which is Final Fantasy Theatrhythm.
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 Acting.
If,
yeah, that's like,
if I could get John Lovitz to say that for us, Lord Mike, if you could tweet John Lovitz and ask him to record a spot of him saying Theatrhythm, that would be awesome.
He's not doing much.
Also, I saw that you tweeted Tim Allen again. That's wonderful, but I think two is probably enough. I think the third tweet is when lawyers get involved.
Well, he hasn't given us the number yet. So one more, including our phone number.
That would be badass.
Just call this number, Tim Allen.
Please. We respect you as an actor. I mean, Galaxy Quest was pretty good. So I've been playing that, which is the Final Fantasy music rhythm game. A lot better than I thought it would be. Honestly, a lot easier than I thought it would be, but that's okay. Maybe it'll get more difficult. Thanks for letting me borrow that.
You're welcome.
And I've been playing a shitload of Civilization V with Paul, of what's Paul been playing. And that game is like a casino for me because I don't think I've ever like been that immersed in a game since World of Warcraft. Like, it's that addicting to me. Several times at lunch, I would come home and play Civ for like 30 minutes. Well, let's face it, like 50 minutes. Like, I would really stretch my hour lunch break and then hurry back to work. I also got...
Eat a hot on the outside, cold on the inside, hot pocket quickly, trying to play Civ and go back to work.
Please, please. Totino's pizza rolls.
Okay. All
are
right.
Far superior to any hot pocket. Anyone wants to dispute that, I'll take to the mat. Also, Bagel Bites, because
there you go.
I can have pizza anytime.
But you're in a hurry, so put it in the microwave. Inevitably, you'll do it too long, and you'll just get the cheese that slid off the side, and you just have a red bagel.
yeah, a red, disgusting, tiny bagel.
A chewy red bagel.
yeah. I bought the DuckTales remake on Steam. I played a little bit of it, not enough to really decide whether I like it or not. Maybe we can do a show about it sometime in the future. We kind of talked about that.
It's been requested.
So I'm in for that. There's been more, but that's the big stuff. Yeah.
All right, Little Nemo.
Little Nemo. I don't hear. Oh, there it is. Oh, it's so sickly.
Yeah.
Megan is not impressed with that trade. It takes a lot to impress that girl. Like, it takes at least... It takes at least 9 years to impress that girl.
What, that girl is 40 now?
41. Yeah, she's 41. I wonder if she remembers me. I should send her all of those. Like you said, I should send them a Facebook message and be like, did you babysit me? I don't remember what you look like. All right, guys. It's time. The train has ushered in a little segment that I like to call Dave Reads from Wikipedia. Guys. Little Nemo, colon, the Dream Master. Get ready for this. This is like the best thing in the fucking world. Known in Japan as Pajama Hero Nemo. Holy shit, Tyler. I don't know why they renamed it for the localization. I really don't. That may be my new Twitter name. It may be my new Twitter handle. Steam, I'm changing it to Pajama Hero Nemo. It's a platform game released on the NES in 1990 by a little company called Capcom. It is based on this. It's based on something that's based on something. So get ready for that. It's based on the Japanese animated film Little Nemo: Adventures in Slumberland, which is from the studio Tokyo Movie Shinsha. I haven't seen it. It's on Crunchyroll. It's in my Crunchyroll queue. I will get to it. I wanted to get to it before we talked about it, but let's face it, there was too much Civ to play. That movie, that animated film, was based on the comic strip Little Nemo in Slumberland by Winsor McKay. You may remember the stoner in Cabin in the Woods was reading a Winsor McKay Little Nemo comic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The game's music, which I love.
Yes.
I was hoping against all hopes that it was Yuki's Papa. It wasn't. It was composed by Junko Tamiya, credited in the game as Ganzu. Because I think we may have talked about this a little bit before. Developers didn't intend for people to beat the games, so they made up all kinds of funny shit in the credits. The game revolves around a young boy in his own surreal dreams as he journeys to Slumberland. Nemo can ride certain animals, which I think is a little misleading. Mm. He really just crawls inside of them and wears them like a suit. Some of those animals, Tyler, being a frog, a gorilla, or a mole. Mm-hmm. And he does this by feeding them candy. Each animal has its own skills needed to complete each level. The purpose of the game is to travel to the Nightmare Land to rescue Morpheus, because apparently Neo's taking a fucking break. Morpheus is the king of Slumberland, and you have to rescue him from the clutches of the evil Nightmare King.
Mm.
That was a long
Game of Thrones shit going on.
Yeah, I would like to see the HBO version of Little Nemo. He's just, oh man, nope.
That's a deep hole.
Yeah,
you can step
I'm not going down there.
But this game, I feel like this. Yes, it is an NES game. Yes, it is fucking hard. Therefore, it is hard.
Here's the problem. It's not all right. I own this game as a kid, which, as you know, means that I played the shit out of it. Like, this was summer vacation, man. Like, I could waste days playing this game. I think it is a difficult game until you memorize everything. And once you memorize everything, it gets really easy. Because I played and beat it. I may actually start trying to do speed runs, as nerdy as that sounds.
Ooh.
I played and beat it in an hour and 15 minutes today.
That's impressive.
Which is a lot better than how I handled it at the cabin.
Yeah.
because Retron's not a sponsor, so I can say this. The shitty Retron crapped out on me.
not once, not twice.
What? No, twice.
Twice.
Because I had to beat the motherfucker three times.
Oh.
The Retron 3 crapped out on me, like, not at the Nightmare King, but in Nightmare Land twice. I think once was the Retron's fault. I think another time just someone, like, bumped it.
Well, one time, I want to say maybe it was three times, because I remember it froze on you once.
Yes.
John accidentally hit it with his foot, like, right. Just barely.
Just tapped it.
And it...
Yeah.
But there was another time where you were at Nightmare Land, and you, like, you had died but hadn't hit start for your continue. And you
You're right.
You wanted to take a break, get something to drink, and it just, once the credits roll, and then the game will just reset.
Yep.
Just for no reason. Start you back at the, if you don't press start fast enough, you start off at the very beginning.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. Yeah, it did take me four times to complete it. only took me once today, thankfully. And hey, man, I got to say, the next time I play that game, I need to have a turbo controller. I wasn't one of the cool kids who had a turbo NES controller when I was younger, but holy shit, dude. The Hornet is one of the animals that you can feed candy and climb inside. What you have to do is he can fly, right?
Yep.
Kinda. What you have to do is repeatedly mash the jump button, and he'll kind of take off a little bit. If you have a turbo controller, you just hold that down, and he is just like just flying. Easy peasy. It's like the most beautiful thing in the world. Mm-hmm. I felt like a god. I felt like a god.
But I feel like this, outside of its difficulty, I feel like it's a pretty perfect kids game.
Oh man.
Pretty perfect.
I was so worried you were gonna shit on this game.
No way.
Oh, no, that's good.
No.
We're gonna have a really positive show.
Yeah, all our shows are good, Dave. We don't do bad shows.
I didn't say good. I said positive. There's a difference.
But there's, because you start off, it's sort of strange starting off, because Nemo goes to bed and then he's approaching his dreams by like a marionette who tells him, "Go to Slumberland, help us out."
By the way, my name is Flip.
Yeah,
I love it. The dialogue in this game is ridiculously good.
And then you get up, then you're in Dreamland. Of course, you beat the level. You have to go through using your animal friends.
You beat the dream.
To beat the dream.
I like that. They don't name them levels. They name them dreams.
And you have to collect keys, like usually like 8 keys.
Yeah, it varies depending on the level.
To beat the level.
Yeah. And they're hidden. Typically, they're hidden throughout the level.
Yeah.
if I did have a complaint about the game, it would be that I wish they would tell you how many keys you had to collect at the beginning. Because unless you know, unless you've played the game before, you've got no way of knowing how many keys you need to unlock the door at the end.
Yeah.
And if you knew, you could explore a little more and try to find the keys.
So I remember watching you play through it. I think it was Nemo's house that took so long because there was just like one key that
one key
could not find.
Yeah.
But because you, your animal friends, collect all the keys, go through the stage. What I think is weird about the game is, everything else is like sort of the acceptable. The weird thing, I think, is just in between the levels, you have where Nemo wakes up and your parents yell at you.
Yeah, Nemo's, I've got that in my notes. I think that we need to call child services because
Nemo is Jeff.
Yeah,
Nemo is Jeff.
Nemo's, I mean, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, and I'm surely not going to disparage Jeff's sterling reputation on this show, but Nemo's mom hates him. I'm pretty sure Nemo's mom hates him because she is just constantly at one point.
Go to bed!
Yeah, and at one point, I think she says, "I this would be pretty traumatizing." She said, "What did I do to deserve a kid who won't go to bed?" I think that's emotional abuse.
See,
maybe not in 1905, in which this game takes place.
That's just everyday life,
right?
Because today, Meg and I used to watch this all the time. John and Kate plus 8.
Okay, I'm familiar with the show. I've never watched it.
It's because they have 8 kids. They had like 6 at once, twins before, and then 6 after that, all at once.
And then
so they got their own reality show.
Step up her game.
Yeah. But see, the thing that really made the show was that John and Kate are crazy people.
Right.
Particularly Kate. So of course, Kate is just like an insane narcissist and she's terrible to her children.
Uh-huh.
She just uses them as a meal ticket for plastic surgery and things like that. Eventually John cheats on her and the show that's when the real fireworks start, whenever they have to start having separate interviews and shit like that. And John no longer lives there.
Right.
That's when the show is just TLC and Jerry Springer just put together. It's good. You have to feel sorry for the kids, but it's good television.
What if in 2014 it's revealed that John and Kate were the same person all along?
That'd be good. I'd be impressed.
All along.
I'd be impressed by her makeup to go from a wasp to a Korean man. Just that good.
Who is shaped considerably different than she is. The last time I saw him, it looked like he was going to have 6 kids.
Yeah, he blew the fuck up.
So if you're listening, John, first of all, sorry.
He gets a lot of weight and started wearing Ed Hardy t-shirts and all the photos. Yeah. But I saw today someone put it on Reddit on Cringe Picks, which was her and the twin girls had an interview on the Today Show. And
recently?
Yeah, it was just the other day.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, it is so just like asshole puckering, just cringe, because the twin girls clearly like either they don't want to be there and they hate their mom, or they've organized some kind of twin pact where it's like, let's just fuck with mom. We're sick of her shit. Let's not talk.
Do they refer to mom as demon wall?
They could, because there are clips of like all 8 of the kids and Kate. And like one of the girls is like, "Mom, I'm really thirsty. Can I have some water?" "No, we gotta do the interview. Shut up, sit down." And she keeps begging for water. Eventually she's like, "Can I get some water before we start this interview?" Somebody throws her a bottle of water. She takes a drink and then puts it on the other side of the couch. And the little girl's
away from the girl?
The little girl's like, "Can I have a drink?" And Kate just ignores her.
Oh my God.
She's like, and the little girl's like, "Mommy, that's so rude to drink right in front of me and then not give me a drink." And she just like that until the interview starts.
I'll say one thing. That never would have happened on the Montel Williams show. I really don't think Montel could have sat through
that.
He
would not have taken that shit.
I really don't think he would have.
But on the Today Show, they're just, the two little girls are like, oh, they want to come on the show and talk about, like, everyone's bad-mouthing them. They want to talk about that their life is actually good. And the girls just won't talk. And you see Kate is just so angry. She's like,
God.
Use your words, Maddie. Maddie, use your words. And she's like clapping to like trying to instruct them and push them.
How old are the girls?
They're teenagers now.
Right.
Yeah.
What would have been like horrifying, but like really kind of poetic is if like the girl opened her mouth to speak and then like her tongue turned to ash or something. If only I would have had some water.
That is one of the girls that did that. They got one of them to sort of talk, but clearly, like, Kate has drilled these lines into her that she's supposed to say, and, like, she doesn't want to say them, and Kate is, like, pushing her, and she's just, don't you want to tell them how great everything is and how wonderful your life is? I don't have to. You just did. And that's about all that happens in the interview.
I'm going to find this after the show.
Yeah.
And watch it.
It's been taken off YouTube and put up a few times.
Wow.
Because it keeps getting pulled back.
Oh, I guess because of, like, copyright
shit. I don't know.
You can't crawl up inside John.
You can feed him. He'll just eat tons of candy. You can feed John so much candy.
That's the problem. Like, he doesn't fall asleep after you give him three pieces. He just wants more.
I want to wear the John Gosling suit so bad. How much candy does it take?
I want to crawl inside this man and have a shitty life.
Because the thing I looked up his Wikipedia, like, he has, like, it's ridiculous amount of child support he has to pay for 8 kids.
Oh, God.
Like, it's something like $22,000 a month. Something awful.
Holy shit.
So, like, he did work. He was, like, a consultant for an energy firm. And then, like, once all this shit happened, the last Wikipedia entry was that he was a waiter at two different restaurants in, like, Michigan.
I like to think that all of this was done because 15 years ago, John slighted Kate. Like, I don't know. Maybe it was his turn to take the trash out when they were dating in college. And he skipped a day. And that just got under Kate's skin. And she was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have twins. Take some fertility drugs. I'm going to have 6 more kids. We're going to fucking split up. And then that motherfucker's going to have to pay me $22,000 a month. Now what, John? This all
like
could have been avoided, John. This all could have been avoided if you just would have taken the trash out.
She is that level of insane narcissist. Little Nemo's mother is Kate Gosling. We've established that.
Yes, we should cast this. We should cast the movie. Robin Williams is clearly Flip.
Yep. Haley Joel Osment is Nemo, but current Haley Joel Osment. Have you seen Haley Joel Osment currently?
No.
He's in like Tides of Babylon. It's some IFC show. And he pulled a John Gosling. And
has
gotten quite big. Does not look anything like he used to. Like, that's not the adult I would have thought Haley Joel Osment would have grown into.
See, I would cast Little Nemo. I would cast Elijah Wood.
Okay.
Because I think he would look adorable in footy pajamas. I'm not going to lie. I don't mean that in like a sexy way. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
But it could be a sexy way. But it could be.
Clearly, you see the possibilities. I mean, there is a butt flap. Okay, one of my favorite things about this game is all of the different animals that you can feed three pieces of candy to. Mm-hmm. They'll fall asleep and then you usually crawl inside them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you ride them. Mm-hmm. I have an extensive list here.
Oh, so do I. Okay.
We should cross-reference our lists. All right. Do you have frog?
Uh-huh.
All right. That is an animal that you crawl inside. Mm-hmm. I've got that in a column. I've got my Excel spreadsheet pulled up. One column says crawl inside and the other one says ride. Mole. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is also a crawl inside.
Get inside the mole.
The mole is really creepy because it's a Nintendo game, so there aren't a whole lot of colors. The mole's skin color is the exact same as Nemo's. So when Nemo crawls up inside there, the mole's head kind of like flips back, like Nemo's wearing a mole hoodie.
Yeah.
And it's all skin colored.
It's weird. Yeah,
it's
you're right.
It's all skin colored.
Because when he stands up, yeah, it looks like the mole is just like, he's eating the inside of the mole and that's just flopping skin around him.
It's pretty awesome. And he appears only once in the game.
Yeah.
In the first level. So there's that. There is a lizard, a mm-hmm. purple lizard, mm-hmm. Which you ride. Nemo gets really small and gets on top of the lizard. Yeah. There is a gorilla, which you ride, mm-hmm. although it looks like you might enter him because when you give him three pieces of candy, he lays his chest on the ground and sticks his butt in the air.
We know what he wants.
It is extremely suggestive and may have inspired Donkey Kong Country. I don't know. There's a hornet, which we talked about briefly.
Is it a hornet or is it a bee?
I like to think hornet.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why, Tyler. Mm-hmm. I don't know the real answer to this, but the hornet has an attack where he can shoot his stinger out across the screen. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if I recall correctly, a bee dies once he loses his stinger.
That's true.
So I'm going to go.
All his internal organs are attached to the stinger and will come out whenever the stinger is left behind.
he's definitely going to be a B in the movie we make, because I want to do that scene where Elijah Wood is inside a giant bee and it stings something, and then it's just all everything of its guts comes just out. Ripping out. There's a hermit crab.
Yeah, of all things, yes, a hermit crab.
Also only in one level.
You use him pretty extensively through that whole level.
You do.
Like the mole you only use for like, you go like one screen.
There is, I've got, the hermit crab you ride. Mm-hmm. I forgot. I keep with my theme. Crawl inside a ride. There is a fish with arms.
Oh, I missed that one.
Yep. There's a fish with arms that you ride. He's interesting because he actually turns into a vehicle when you feed him candy, which seems a lot more twisted than just simply riding him. And then there's a mouse and mallet. A mouse with a mallet.
Yeah, I had the riding mouse with croquet mallet.
Nice. You ride him.
Yep.
So there's more animals that you ride than you crawl inside.
Sadly.
It's kind of like a, what is it? Murder Mary.
Sleep with?
Sleep with. What? That's, we always not, said that's
murder,
not how you say
we
it.
We always said Murder Mary Sleep with. Okay. I guess because we're very, like, I play with Jacob, so of course it's clean. Murder Mary Sleep with.
It's kind of like a game, right?
So usually like kill Mary Fuck or murder.
Something like that. Well, this is, I feel like we just created a new game, and that is ride or crawl inside. I give you two people, Tyler, and you tell me which one you want to ride and which one you crawl inside.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
All right, Kate and John.
You got to ride Kate and crawl in John.
It's a two-step process.
Yeah.
And then what happens?
You have eight kids.
Okay.
You get a reality show and be a millionaire and then go into debt.
Yeah. Yeah. Story of my life.
But this game, 1990 is pretty late for the NES life cycle, and a year before the SNES.
Yeah.
So I wager Mario 3 came out before this.
It did.
So this is probably, some of these elements are probably borrowed from Mario 3.
Yes. My perception was always colored as a child because I got, even though Super Mario Brothers 3 came out before Little Nemo, mm-hmm. I played Little Nemo before Super Mario Brothers 3.
Okay.
So it always seemed to me that Little Nemo came up with it first. They didn't. Mm-hmm. They didn't. But Super Mario Brothers doesn't have you feed the animal candy, have them fall asleep, and then you do things to mm-hmm. them. You bend them to your will. That's not in Super Mario Brothers 3. Yeah. That is either you could consider that a pro or a con for Little Nemo.
Because I enjoy just bending animals to my will. So, because if you don't feed them candy, they'll kill you.
Yeah, yeah.
I died a lot in this game because I would forget to throw the candy at them and just, oh yeah, jump, bump, dead.
Because they're friendly. You're used to them being friendly. But yeah, they will straight up murder you if you do not give them three pieces of candy. It's really kill or be killed in the Mushroom Forest.
That's true.
Do you have a favorite animal in Little Nemo?
You don't get to use him enough, but I enjoyed the mole.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the digging through the sand and the way his claws. I like the way the hoodie looked. So it looked cool.
There's a market, I think. We could make a mole hoodie that is just disgusting.
Well, no, this will be our cosplay. We'll do inside Little Nemo costumes. So we've got the mole hoodie with the claws.
I'm not joking right now. If you want to do that, I am 100% in. I am 100% in. You can be the mole and I can be the hornet because that was my favorite. The hornet works a similar way, except you've got the hood up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nemo has the hood up and only his, it's like the bee face has been replaced by Nemo's face.
Yep. Well, see, be hard pressed for people to not think you're from Mario Galaxy with the bee costume.
I forgot about the bee costume. Mm-hmm. Shit, I guess I could go lizard then and just construct a big purple lizard that I wear around my waist, kind of like an inflatable tube, I'll wear purple leggings and I'll just walk around.
That's pretty good. I could also, we'll get you some footy pajamas and a big dream rod and a bunch of candy. You can just walk around and throw at people and then try to climb inside them.
Anyone dressed up like an animal or even remotely animal-like at Dragon Con. Oh my God. Oh, man, we need to get a video camera. I need to dress up as Little Nemo. We need to go to a furry convention. I'll just run around and just throw candy.
We'll get you one of the double bubble baskets, and you just go around and you'll throw three pieces and then try to climb on them.
Everything is fine until I ask them, would you rather I crawl inside you or ride you? That's when you have to turn the camera off.
And then it becomes like a Girls Gone Wild video where they're in the trailer and then we're talking to them. He gave me the pieces of bubble gum.
There were steel drums playing. What was I supposed to do?
But there is something about that. I mean, Mario 3 and Little Nemo, I really enjoy the aspect of animal power-up suits. They're always just, it's fun. It's a very fun concept.
It's really fun because it changes the way you control the character. Because Nemo can run, he can jump, he can throw candy. And that doesn't change up until the very end of the game where he gets the Morning Star, where he can use it like a bat to kill enemies and also shoot an orb of light from it. But the way that you change the game up is every time you bend one of these animals to your will, you gain their powers. Like we talked about, the hornet flies and the mole digs. The gorilla climbs and punches.
He's also very, very short range.
Yeah. The gorilla is like a shitty lizard, really.
That just goes as a broad spectrum. It just applies to the animal kingdom in general.
You hear that, Jane Goodall? You hear that? She's dead, right?
No, I don't think she is. Oh, okay. Well, she died recently.
I was just about to say she's probably rolling
in the last few years, like she died, I want to say.
Because the lizard climbs as well, he's much faster than the gorilla. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't have a punch. Mm-hmm. But let's face it, the gorilla's punch, like you said, is so short range.
It's like his really same square. There's no reach to it.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter.
So really, like, where it's at is the mouse with the mallet. It's got the best of both worlds.
See, I like the mouse. Yeah, okay, you're right. Given all the animals that climb, the lizard, the gorilla, and the mouse with the mallet, I agree. The mouse with the mallet wins.
That's who your munchkin, who the overpowered players, they want the mouse with the mallet. That's clearly right. The most powerful. So
right.
That's a give me. People who truly appreciate it will choose another animal.
It's kind of like, it reminds me of Mega Man a little bit, you know, because when you beat, what do they call them, a robot master? Mm-hmm. See, I'm learning these Mega Man things. You defeat a robot master, you gain their ability, right? But that ability uses up charges. Mm-hmm. It uses up precious resources. Mm-hmm. So because of that, I never want to use a robot master's ability unless I'm fighting a boss. Like, I want to save it, you know? I'm like that with consumables in games. Hold on to those. Mm-hmm. But in Little Nemo, you don't have to worry about that shit. You've got unlimited candy. You just feed the animal, hop in, and you can just use their ability to no end. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Let's see. I feel like the layout of the game and the graphics for its time were solid.
Yeah, I think it looked good.
And the music.
Oh, the music.
The music is so
good.
Holy
shit.
I wish we decided like 2 days ago that we were going to do this.
Yeah.
Like, I wish we would have decided on it earlier and told Megalixir, hey.
Ask Megalixir to do it. I was thinking about that when I was playing this. I'll include it in the show notes. I haven't asked the artist whether or not we can use it in the show, but I'll give you a link to put in the show notes of this. This guy I found on Reddit, there's a subreddit called, I think it's called Video Game Music. Some people like post remixes and instrumentals that they've done based on games. There's a guy on there who has, he did Mushroom Forest, and it is phenomenal. I love it.
Okay.
I asked if he's doing more, and he says he is. I was like, I don't really communicate with people on Reddit because I'm a big sissy and I'm afraid that people are going to yell at me. So, but this guy, I made an exception. I was like, I have to let you know how wonderful that was and that I think you should do a whole album of the music from Little Nemo. Mm. And he said he is working on more. So I'm super excited.
Because if he doesn't, Megalixir doing Topsy Turvy would be...
Oh my God.
Oh my God, that'd be so good.
Yeah, if there's anything we could bribe you with, Megalixir, to do a cover of Topsy Turvy.
If they do their contest again and Meg wins, then I will, like, gave you a baby, you owe me, ask them to do Topsy Turvy. Then we're even. But the levels in the game, because it's what, the Mushroom Forest, and then the Flower Garden.
Right.
The House of Toys.
Yes, that has...
That has is the I fucking train level.
It has
of course.
A train level.
Oh, and it's one of those train levels.
It is until you memorize it. Yes, I actually found it enjoyable when I played it today, but I remember it being excruciatingly frustrating when I was a kid.
Because it's like there are spikes, and the train like goes up to the spikes and freaks you out so much.
Meanwhile, toy airplanes are dive bombing you. Hot air balloons are dropping bombs on you, and flying squirrels are strategically placed to make you jump into spikes. That being said, pretty good level.
Yeah. So then the Night Sea.
which is not my, that's my least favorite level.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you have the hermit crab, and it's, I hate to be that guy, but it's a water level.
Mm-hmm.
It's designed well, I think, but it's just, it's difficult because the controls completely change.
Yeah.
Because you're underwater.
I can think of a game that does it where it's really good, where it's like a, where swimming is just really fun.
Echo the Dolphin.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
That's debatable fair. How fun that game is.
I enjoyed the Game Gear version that I had.
I did too.
Let's see. Nemo's House. And then another level I didn't care much for, the Cloud Ruins.
Yeah. The Cloud Ruins.
I like the design of it and the idea of it, but just in play, it was, I didn't care for it. Especially the, where it's scrolling, the forced move downward, and you're having to fall from the clouds.
Yeah, I like it, but man, okay, clearly, I'm wearing rose-tinted glasses when it comes to this game because I played it so much. I think it is fair that I need to be transparent. This Nintendo game is definitely in my top three Nintendo games. Like, this game is really, I love this game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love this game like I loved Megan. I want this game to be my girlfriend.
Mm.
That's, you know, didn't sound as creepy in my head that I said it. And I think, man, I don't think I'm going to be able to listen to this episode ever.
I want this game to be my girlfriend.
Damn game.
Damn game.
Damn game. One thing I thought that was weird about the Cloud Ruins level is I remember playing it as a kid and freaking out because I couldn't find any keys. I couldn't find any.
Mm-hmm.
No keys. I couldn't find a single key. They give them all to you at the end. The door is there at the end, and there are, I think, 7 steps, and there's a key on each step.
I hope the programmer that just got to the end, fuck, I forgot to put the keys in the level. Just put them at the end. It's fine.
I hope it was more sadistic than that. I hope they were like, we're going to give a small child in Florida, that's where I lived at the time, we're going to give a small child in Florida anxiety.
That's going to last him throughout the rest of his life.
To this day, I can't touch a key. Every time I come home, I have to put on gloves.
And you have 7 different ones you have to pull out and put in, like you have OCD to enter any door.
I have to feed a lizard 3 pieces of candy and then use my 7 keys to open the door. Yeah. After Cloud Ruins.
And there's, I think, our collective favorite level, Topsy Turvy.
Topsy Turvy is one hell of a level.
Mm-hmm. And clearly, Castlevania Symphony of the Night stole the second half of the game from Little Nemo.
Totally ripped it off. Because the whole level is based around the fact that it is upside down.
Mm-hmm. And the music, I think, is the best music in the game is in Topsy Turvy.
I agree. I think Topsy Turvy and Mushroom Forest, best tracks. Also, Topsy Turvy is the last level before you enter Nightmare Land.
Mm-hmm.
After you beat Topsy Turvy, you get a story, which is kind of interesting because you go like the majority of the game just fucking around.
Just
in
like
Dreamland.
Puppets and weird dogs are asking you to do things.
Right. You got Flip telling you God knows what. I tell you what, man, this is no joke. This is no joke at all. This isn't just my snide 32-year-old commentary on the game. When I was a kid, I remember thinking, that clown in the beginning is a pedophile. Because Flip just rolls up and he's like, hello, little boy. And like, just immediately, like, I remember the first time, like, getting goosebumps and like getting freaked out. And then, like, he tells you that you can feed animals candy. I mean, it just like, that's, if I were to dress up as a clown and like go up to a kid today and say, hello, little boy, what are you doing here? Some of the animals here, you can feed candy. The cops would be there in like 10 seconds. But anyway.
Because they're already watching you anyway.
Right.
So clearly. Really quickly.
Clearly, I do a podcast, so I hate to break it to you, but we're both on some pretty intense lists. Yeah, you finally get a story. Princess Camille shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And tells you she needs your help because clearly you've been doing a lot of good and you're the only one who can do it.
Mm-hmm.
She gives you a morning star and casts a magic spell on it so you can use it and then asks you to rescue her father, King Morpheus, from the Nightmare King.
I feel like this is almost, feels like it's an entirely different game at this point.
It is because of the morning star, right? And because of the level design. Because it's super dark now. It's almost like, it's how I imagine a shitty club in London is. you know, like, because it's all like rock walls,
like a London and grunge like, scene.
Yeah, yeah, like purple lighting, and like that's just how I imagine how it is. You know, women dressed up as purple lizards, jets of flame.
Your general club scene.
Yeah, you're clearly. I've never been to a club that didn't have strip before it.
Yeah, that's fair. Neither have I, really. I mean, but then Nightmare Land is divided into three different levels.
Right.
And you have the rod. So now, normally it's like candy. If you can't climb inside the enemy, candy will stun them.
Right.
You don't really have anything offensive unless you're on an animal.
Right.
So now you don't really have that many animals, and you have the rod that you can hit somebody with or charge it up and fire a blast.
Right. And the blast is kind of weird. It's tricky because it comes out at like a 45-degree angle.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can – there aren't a whole lot of situations where it's convenient to use that ability. What do you think about the bosses in this? Because this is the first time there are bosses in the game.
Well,
because
it's watching you play the first is the giant penguin.
Yes.
It didn't seem like it was too bad. Like, you just memorized the bubbles and the little penguins.
Wearing a crown.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He rains down bubbles on you while giving birth to baby penguins.
Mm-hmm. That you just squash immediately with your Morningstar.
Yeah, that's not nice.
So he wasn't too bad. But then, like, the stingray boss.
Yeah.
Because I watched you fight the stingray boss for at least an hour, just trying to do the rapid fire blast with him whenever you could.
Yeah. He is hard as fuck. Because he is so narrow.
Mm-hmm.
I guess short is really the right word. He's so short. Like, he only takes up, like, so little. Mm-hmm. So little, Tyler.
So little.
He's so small. So small. That he's really fucking difficult to hit. And he's fast. And he'll come from one side of the screen and just fucking, line drive. Mm-hmm. He's like a line drive manta ray. That'll just zone in right on you.
It's like Ayla and Chrono's Falcon hit just coming across the screen.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. But because the trick to all the bosses when you have the Morningstar is like charge shots.
Yeah.
Because once you started hitting him with fully charged shots, it was once you could actually hit him, it didn't take that many.
Right. And then there's the final boss.
Oh, man.
The Nightmare King,
mm-hmm.
who I think is, he's tough,
mm-hmm.
but I don't really think he's as tough as that Manta Ray.
He takes up half the screen, so there's not really much missing him.
Right. But you do have to hit him a lot.
A lot.
So the Manta Ray has few hit points, but he has amazing dodge bonus to his AC.
Mm-hmm.
The Nightmare King, he's a tank. He has a shitload of hit points, but you can make that range touch on him all day long. All day long.
If you play D&D, you perfectly understand what
you just climaxed. What it's
like. Yep, you know.
If you don't play D&D, maybe you should start.
Yep.
Maybe it'll lower your GPA.
We'll tell you how. What? Want to ruin? Want to get huge in debt and have nothing to show for it? Play D&D in college.
Confirmed.
But overall, I think it's still fun now, and I loved it as a kid.
I would definitely, definitely recommend, if you have not played this game, play it. It is worth it. If you don't like it for the gameplay, maybe you'll like it for the absurdity, because this game is surreal.
Yeah.
Like, this is, I mean, this was the benchmark. Like, this set it for me as far as bizarre games, because you know I like weird games. This is in the same tone as Earthworm Jim. It's just not as crude.
Yeah. It's got that Earthworm Jim humor and absurdity,
uh-huh.
and it kind of blends elements from like Alice in Wonderland and Mario. It's a good mix of a lot of different things.
Earthworm Jim, unfortunately, doesn't have child abuse.
Unfortunately.
Little Nemo does. So if you're looking to mix it up, if you want child abuse, Little Nemo, all the way. If you don't want, less child abuse, more burping, Earthworm Jim.
Less burping, less child, well, a moderate amount of child abuse, and then it's a lot of acid-tripping murder, Alice in Wonderland.
Right. I think it could be argued that Alice in Wonderland is just an allegory for child abuse.
Yeah.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
Do you have achievements for this game?
I do.
All right.
I've got Anglo-Saxon Dritzdarden, which that is you beat a level on the riding lizard.
Okay, explain that one. Explain
well,
that one
Drista
to me.
In D&D, the dark elves, the drow, they don't have horses in, you know, dark horses don't really
or
have
drow, if you're a savage.
Yeah. So Drista Erden being the most famous drow in fiction, and then Anglo-Saxon being...
As opposed to in the real world.
Yep. Anglo-Saxon is, you know, he's Nemo's little white kid in England.
Right.
So...
I want that on his shirt.
pajama hero, Anglo-Saxon England.
Okay, I got it. What else? Do you have any other achievements?
Trainsy!
Nice.
Which is lose all your lives in the train level.
So that one unlocks pretty easy.
Mm-hmm. You'll get that the first time you play the game.
You have any others?
Nope.
I've got a couple.
Okay.
My first one is called Don't Flip Out. In order to unlock Don't Flip Out, it automatically unlocks once you're finished talking to Flip. And it's Don't Flip Out because, don't worry, he's not going to pull you into his van and drive away. You will see your mother again. Don't worry about it. Don't flip out.
Welcome to Dreamland. You're not going to wake up.
The game could have taken a really dark twist very early on.
Press A to wake up, and then the game just turns off.
The other achievement I got is your shit is topsy turvy, which is a line from Cabin in the Woods. In order to unlock your shit is topsy turvy, you have to complete the topsy turvy level without taking a single hit.
Mm, that's rough. It's doable.
That's a challenge.
That's rough.
It's a challenge. I have not unlocked that one yet.
Mm.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I've had a lot of fun today.
I knew you would. This is your game. This is your wheelhouse.
It really is. I feel like I've talked a lot. I apologize for that. But I just have... I could probably talk for 2 more hours about this game.
Mm-hmm.
Because I owned it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I probably put more hours in this game than I have any MMO. but so thank you. Thank you for indulging me and for doing this show. I do really appreciate it.
No, I like this game too. It's good. It's good for us to agree and be happy.
It doesn't happen too often. I've got a very important question for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to give this game a beard that just encapsulates the spirit of Little Nemo, what kind of beard would it be?
I would give this, and I'm gonna try for a musical reference here.
Okay. You've been pretty good on those
the,
so far.
The front man for the Grateful Dead.
Okay.
Jerry Garcia's beard.
Okay. Yeah, because it's kind of trippy.
It's trippy, yeah. You know, the Jerry Bears and the color. Yeah, it's kind of, but it's also cute and fluffy, like his fluffy white beard.
Okay. I think that's apt.
There you go.
I think you did very well. If you were to give this game, Tyler, a pair of glasses, what kind of glasses would they be?
It's glasses. They don't function very well, but these are glasses that have been drawn onto you by Harold and his purple crayon.
Okay.
So they're Harold's purple crayon drawn glasses.
Okay, awesome.
Because Harold in his footy pajamas with his crayon, a little bit like Nemo and the Morningstar.
Okay, Harold versus Little Nemo.
Harold.
100%.
Yeah.
What if they're in the dream world?
Does the crayon function?
It did until Freddy showed up and sliced it with his
okay, no,
finger claws.
Then Nemo. Okay. Otherwise, that purple crayon is a fucking major artifact. That is like that's like the Green Lantern's ring that doesn't run out ever.
I have another question for you, a side question. In a previous episode, you revealed that the superpower that you would want is dream control.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because of Little Nemo?
Nope, it's just because I feel like it would be a good way to manipulate somebody and either getting revenge or doing what I would want and no one could ever find out.
Do you think that is the superpower that Picel would choose?
Probably.
Okay.
Probably. I have to actually say probably. Or that's just, Picel would probably just do direct mind control.
Okay, all right. So maybe Littlefinger.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. That's a pretty Littlefinger power. Okay. That's good.
All right. Which I don't think you're very similar to Littlefinger.
I don't want to hurt anybody, not directly and intentionally.
Side note upon side note, Littlefinger is one of my favorite characters in Game of Thrones. I think he's super interesting. Mm-hmm.
And I can't talk about Littlefinger more because I've got my own personal statements and beliefs about Littlefinger, where he's going and what he's done.
Okay.
So. But I can't talk about it. Major spoilers for you.
Okay. We'll save it for Game of Thrones podcast.
Okay. Done. We can play the Game of Thrones game It's supposedly awful when we can play it.
There's okay, let me propose something better.
Okay.
There's a Civ 5 mod.
Oh,
which is all Game of Thrones. They've got the world map is Westeros and the Wastes.
Mm-hmm.
And all the civilizations are the houses. Oh my gosh. And all the leaders are the heads of those houses. And they cap the technology at what it is in the novels.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, it looks so good.
That's good. That is really good. We should do that.
I would really like to do that.
Okay, we can do that.
Some people called us.
Yeah.
But we are running pretty long. Do you want to save them or do you want to do them?
Well, it's we only have four.
But we have five because someone called right before the show.
Okay.
So we got five. Do you want to do it or you want to hold on to them? Your call.
Well, we also have talked about Other Ship Monday, all call-in show.
Okay.
So maybe we'll pass on them this time.
Okay.
Have people call us and we'll next week we'll all call
all
in,
calls?
All calls.
I love it.
Okay.
So people who called already, they can call again.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to let them call again? Mm-hmm. Okay. And people who haven't called us, call us.
Yeah.
What's our number?
Our number, or this piece of paper, because of course, you know, I should have this memorized, 270-883-2555.
All right.
We do have people to thank. I think I should go ahead and thank some people.
Okay, let's thank some people.
All right. So for Facebook, Marques Nicole, Lord Matt, Saint Zach, Exalted Lord Mike of Purdue, Archivist Korn, and Marquis Josh. Twitter, I'd like to thank Lord Dennis x3 for 3 retweets, The Matt W for 2 retweets, Exalted Lord Mike of Purdue twice, Marques Nicole twice, Correspondent Laura for tweeting us at other people.
She's
not retweeting us, but just throwing our name out there, which is very, very good.
It is. She is awesome. She's connected us with several other retro gamers and just video game journalists. let me redo that. Video game journalists. There we go. I like it better when my voice doesn't crack. Thank you.
See, I guess Dave and Buster's for favoriting one of the tweets.
Yeah. Yeah, we're blowing up.
Prosecutor Gilday. Chandra No Shits. No Skits. What's Chandra's name on?
Nitshit.
Nitshit.
Uh-huh.
Chandra Nitshits.
Yes.
Chandra No Shits. Got rid of her asshole. Chandra No Shits.
Good luck with the colostomy bag.
Impresario Tony and Baron Drew. And we have, apparently in August, we got a 5-star review from somebody in England.
Yeah.
In Canada. I'm sorry.
It was Canada.
So only on iTunes Canada can you see the 5-star review.
Right.
So I want to thank Twilight Fan 187.
Okay. Thank you very much. It's the only 5-star on Canada. Get it as iTunes. So if you're a Canadian listener, and I know that your name is Gordon, Gordon, please,
as most Canadians are,
go to iTunes and leave us an honest 5-star review.
Special thanks to Brandon Eves for leaving our card at a retro game cafe where you played Sega Genesis.
Yep. Thank you. We appreciate it. Brandon of Axelay fame.
Axelay fame. It's crazy.
I know. Worlds are colliding.
Eerily silent. We haven't gotten a phone call from Megalixir in a while. They're coming to stay with us in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So they should call us and tell us about how excited they are for us to show them all the places that we masturbate. And, you know, just general things about our life that we care a lot about.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to that. I want to thank Alan Applegate of Retail Hell. He's actually thinking about starting up a show. He said that we've inspired him to do that.
Oh, awesome.
Those are incredibly kind words. And he's actually gone so far to say that he thinks that we're funnier, or I'm sorry, not funnier. We're just as funny as one of my favorite shows, Tell Him Steve Dave, which means that means a shitload to me.
Yeah.
That is the biggest compliment that I can be given. Mm-hmm. So sincerely, thank you for that. That was very nice
of
you.
That is. That's very awesome.
Oh, also, I got one more person that I want to thank. I want to thank Phil Hawkins for his awesome Ham Orgy 2014 t-shirt design. Okay, that's it.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher. So to miss next episode, we'll be talking about Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Well, they did. It's not a question. Zombies Ate My Neighbors?
I think actually you need to yell that.
Zombies Ate My Neighbors!
More distraught.
Zombies Ate My Neighbors!
Perfect. You nailed it.
While you're there, don't forget to subscribe, give the show a 5-star rating, write a review. Good things happen.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate it. That's all I got.
Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we will be back next week. Sans Neighbors. In the meantime, if you can't get enough Tadpog goodness, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. That's where you'll get to see, I'm sure, a lovely photograph of Jerry Garcia's beard. You can also find us on facebook.com/tadpog. Go there and check out Phil Hawkins' Ham Orgy 2014 t-shirt. If you're on Facebook being miserable anyway, you might as well be miserable with us on the Tadpog page.
That's true.
Because I have a theory that everyone on Facebook is miserable, because every time I go there now, I just feel so... Bleh.
And most status updates are... Yeah.
So, hey... double thanks to everyone who's liked us on Facebook, because mm-hmm. I realize the shit you have to go through to be on there. We're also on Twitter. You can find us at @tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome, I know, but at least some cool shit's happening there. I'll give you the number again, maybe. Tyler, thank you. Call us if you want to be one of the cool people who calls us. I don't have to read it upside down this time. It's amazing. At 270-883-2555. We're going to try to do an all-call show next week, like Tyler said. I think it's brilliant. So if you're a frequent caller, call us. If you're an infrequent caller, call us for the first time.
Or email us. If you're not comfortable mm-hmm. sending your voice to us, we'll read whatever question you want on the air.
Yeah.
At tyler@tadpog.com, dave@tadpog.com. Only two.
Not Tyler. Only two. Not tyler@dave.com.
Nope.
Maybe davidtyler.com.
Maybe.
We'll see. Send it anyway. See what happens. Report back, Tyler.
Mm.
Our intro song is Moves mm-hmm. by Sycamore Drive.
Yeah.
A link to that track can be found in the show notes at tadpog.com.
Yeah.
Until next week,
Tropical Capricorn. You all right? You good?
What?
You good?
Yeah. I had a lot of fun. I had an amazing time, really. I wish I could talk about games like that. Like, I wish every game we did I could talk about like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, where I had something to say about every aspect of the game.
When we hit, like, top 20, I feel like we'll be getting...
Yeah.
It's sad to think there are only 20 really good Super Nintendo games out of, like, 700.
I was thinking about that, too. Because it's, like, even, like, in the top 100, yeah, some of them are just downright not good. There's a guy on... Pixel Dojo, it's a retro podcast, who is reviewing every Nintendo game, and I think he is like, he's in the 700s now. He's written a review for over 700 games. He said he's like, the most recent one he did, like, I mean, he's doing like some really bizarre shit. Like, if it came out, he's reviewing it. It was like an anti-drug video game where you're a bear. That's all I caught. But he said it was awful.
I've heard him tell me about the dentist game.
I don't know.
Where you're
You're Steve Martin in Little Shop of Horrors.
That'd be awesome. You're like Captain Molar versus the gingivitis or some shit like that, and you're like cleaning teeth and teaching kids about proper dental care. It's a Super Nintendo game.
Oh, man, that gave me a good idea. They need to do, you know how they have Surgeon
Captain
Simulator?
Novocaine. That's it.
Captain Novocaine? Yeah. They need a dentist or an orthodontic simulator where it's all like this control. Yeah, you're just knocking teeth out of some poor kid's head. What the fuck? Dave and Buster's favorited a tweet we were mentioned in.